If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning, Dan and Kristen McQueary from the Chicago Tribune editorial board in for Amy this morning. And all the talk coming out of the G20 summit was sort of subsumed yesterday by the news that Donald Trump Jr., during the campaign, had a meeting with a Russian lawyer named Natalia Veselnitskaya. Thank you very much.
You practiced.
The meeting included Jared Kushner, as well as the campaign manager for Trump at the time, Paul Manafort. Took place at Trump Tower. The meeting in June of 2016 was said to be a conversation about the Magnitsky Act, which Vlad Putin is not a fan of, and it bars certain Russians from banking in the U.S. Ms. Veselnitskaya was representing, among her clients, a company called Prevazon Holdings, which had a civil asset forfeiture case against it before the U.S. Department of Justice. And also part of the discussion, apparently, was Putin retaliating against the U.S. for the Magnitsky Act by blocking U.S. adoptions of Russian children. Now, then the worm turned with Mark Carello, a spokesman for Trump's legal team, saying, "We learned both from our own investigation as well as public reports that the participants in the meeting misrepresented who they were and who they worked for. Specifically, we've learned that the person who sought the meeting is associated with Fusion GPS, a firm that was retained by Democrat operatives to develop opposition research on the president and which commissioned the phony Steele dossier." For his part, Donald Trump Jr. said in a statement about the meeting, "After pleasantries were exchanged, the woman stated she had information that individuals connected to Russia were funding the Democrat National Committee and supporting Mrs. Clinton. Her statements were vague, ambiguous, made no sense. No details of supporting information was provided or even offered. It quickly became clear that she had no meaningful information." This statement by Trump Jr. and the confirmation of the meeting is leading lawyers that are of the Never Trump variety or the left, like Larry Tribe from Harvard, Richard Painter, former Bush administration, G.W. Bush administration attorney, to use the T word in relation to Trump, treason for Trump Jr., and being taken as kind of a smoking gun, because, of course, anything on Russia is the de facto smoking gun, according to Adam Schiff and the Democrats who want to sustain this narrative. Here's Reince Priebus, White House chief of staff, talking about this issue, addressing it with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday yesterday, the meeting.
It was a very short meeting. It was a meeting apparently about Russian adoption. And after about 20 minutes, the meeting ended, and that was the end of it. And as far as non-disclosure, look, Jared Kushner put in his disclosure a little prematurely. He's since amended it. All of that is disclosed, and it was a nothing meeting. And now, what's developing from that meeting, if you look at the article that Circa put out, is that the individual that set up the meeting may have been affiliated with Fusion GPS, which is a opposition research firm that is being subpoenaed and talked to by the Senate Judiciary Committee about their role in putting together that phony dossier that people know about in regard to the president.
Now, Kristen, the other piece of the news on Russia this weekend was CNN was wrong again. This time, instead of being 100% wrong, they were 200% wrong. For the week leading up to the G20, they said that Trump was unlikely, their sources, anonymous sources, Trump unlikely to bring up the issue of election meddling. In fact, he brought it up twice. Reince Priebus described Trump's addressing the issue of election meddling with Putin.
Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov says that after Putin denied meddling in the election, he, Trump, this is his quote, said that he accepts these assertions and that President Trump said, this is Lavrov quoting Trump, certain circles in the U.S. are still exaggerating, although they cannot prove this, the topic of Russia's interference with the U.S. election. Reince, is that true? Did the president say what Lavrov says he said?
No, it's not true. The president absolutely did not believe the denial of President Putin. What the president did is he immediately came into the meeting, talked about Russian meddling in the U.S. election, went after that issue at least two separate times. This was not just a five-minute piece of the conversation. This was an extensive portion of the meeting. And after going at it with President Putin more than once, two times, maybe even three times, the president, at that point, after spending a large part of the meeting on the subject, moved on to other topics.
Now, I want to be fair and give the left response. And rather than using the customary persons, the Adam Schiffs and the Nancy Pelosi's and the like, I think a better representation of the left and their substantive position was provided by this P-hat posse every woman on Twitter over the weekend, a video that went viral. Listen to Jane Doe, Ashley Judd, Madonna acolyte, responding to the meeting between Trump and Putin. What really happened, what really was going on that no one reported.
And this is just a person. This is just a rank and file citizen who posted this, and now it's gone viral.
I mean, she's no different than Jim Acosta. Exactly.
Well, my Friday's ruined. It's absolutely ruined. I get up and I go and I turn on the news. First thing I see is Trump, not my president, Trump, shaking Vladimir Putin's hand. And I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, and then to top it off, Trump, mm-hmm.
not my president,
taps Putin on the back. It was like a tap, you know? And I'm like, there is your collusion, people.
Oh,
like, if you can't see that,
you go, girl.
There's something wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with you. I mean, I should be an investigative journalist because I...
Not opening.
And then, like, Trump, not my president, was looking at Putin, and he started blinking. He was blinking at him. And then Putin looked back at Trump, and he was blinking at Trump. And they were, like, both standing there blinking at each other. And it was like, oh, my gosh. It's like Morse code. They're communicating. They're plotting for 220. And I felt so helpless, you know? Like, I wish I could stop it. Just, my friend is just ruined. It's just, my whole weekend's ruined now.
Yeah. Could somebody please get her some Ambien immediately?
Or distinguish her from Debbie Wasserman Schultz, if you can. For more distillation of the subliminal communicating between Vlad Putin and Donald Trump at that meeting, we're pleased to be joined by our friend Noah Rothman, associate editor for Commentary Magazine. Noah, thanks for joining us. And if you're going to criticize Trump, please try and do it without the waterworks.
I'm going to pour myself a glass of wine, have a Xanax.
Yes.
Get a quart. It'll be an emotionally taxing struggle.
Wrap yourself in an Afghan, get a quart of Haagen-Dazs, and then we can conduct the interview. Noah, so your take on, there's so much here, but why don't we start with Trump Jr. and whether this is the bombshell that it has been reported to be by the New York Times and CNN and the like?
I think it's a pretty big deal. This mm-hmm. is the president's son admitting that he was pursuing information on Hillary Clinton's campaign that might have been damaging, provided to him by a third party who was linked to the Russian government. That individual, with none of this is denied by any party, that individual was operating as a third-party intermediary for the Russian government, dangling the possibility of releasing these holds on possible adoptions in the United States for Russian couples in exchange for the release of sanctions on the Russian government. That's a pretty clear chain of events, and Donald Trump's junior's defense of himself is only that he was acting entirely independent of his president or the campaign.
So splice and dice for us a little bit, because, you know, we're from Chicago, where dirty politics, op research, all kinds of things unfold in order to get dirt on your opponent. So is it the fact that this is potentially someone connected to the Russian government? What is the most incriminating factoid that you just threw out there?
Well, this is probably the fourth or fifth member of the campaign or linked to the campaign who was in touch with Russian officials during the campaign, contradicting people like Rens Paredes and Vice President Mike Pence, who said there were absolutely no contacts between the campaign and the Russian government. That was not true fivefold. There were a lot of contacts between the campaign and the Russian government. Secondly, it's indicative of a political problem for this White House, not necessarily a legal problem, but a political problem, which is that this Russian thing has sapped the administration of authority, of legitimacy. It has overtaken the news cycle. It has prevented them from doing the things they want to do. It's a real distraction, to say nothing of the fact that it's a serious problem if you're concerned about the intervention by a foreign power in an American election. That's not good stuff, and we should expect the President of the United States to be treating an assault on American sovereignty like an assault on American sovereignty, and we should all be rallying around that. And the fact that it's partisanized means we can't do that. But this indicates, this particular revelation now indicates, that they did, at least Donald Trump Jr. did, possibly without any knowledge of the President, but we don't know that, wanted to utilize whatever help they could get, even if it was the help of a foreign power that is clearly a hostile foreign power.
Well, part of it is part of what do we know about what Donald Trump Jr. knew about this individual based on the after the fact vetting of this individual or whoever it was that set up the meeting? And their possible connection to Fusion GPS, which is a Democrat firm that, again, commissioned that dossier, as I mentioned, from the Trump legal team spokesman's statement. You know, maybe it was a case of sloppiness, and they didn't really even know who they were talking to in terms of the connects.
Yeah, it's totally possible. Look, it's very possible. And I want to say that right off the bat, that this is not the quote-unquote smoking gun. But as I said earlier, this is the fifth such individual, I think, if you take Paul Manafort, Carter Page, Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump Jr., and I believe there was one other, these are all people who had campaign contacts with Russian officials, knowingly or unknowingly. And the contradicting the notion that this that was said several times by people like the vice president that this never happened. This is a political problem for this White House. This White House has this cloud of suspicion hanging over it, which not only does it seem disinclined to dissipate, but I don't even think it could. It's just the sort of thing that's going to hang there and sap the public of its their belief that this is an administration that can operate independently and in the name of American interests with regard to Russia.
Well, meanwhile, there were some substantive achievements that the president forged at the G20, including a Syrian ceasefire that, of course, are being overshadowed by some of his tweeting as well as this Donald Jr. story.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I'm suspicious of its ability to be effective. Look, we need a Potsdam conference for Syria yesterday. The quote-unquote ISIS caliphate is collapsing. The de facto capital of Raqqa is about to fall apart, and these interests are going to dissipate. Now, the terrorist threat will never go away, but what's bigger and more important and more pressing is the great power conflicts that are going on in this theater, where you have American troops, British troops, French troops, Turkish troops, Russian troops, etc. Iranian troops, all shooting at each other's proxies. We engaged the Syrian government again last month, shot down a plane, to which the Russian government responded, well, you're not going to allow any other NATO assets west of the Euphrates River. That's essentially bifurcating the country. We're drawing a line down the middle. So we really do have to cooperate on this thing. When it comes to this ceasefire, this quote-unquote no-fly zone, I have a suspicion that that's going to last a week, maybe two at most, once we get this thing up and running, because we are shooting at each other's proxies. We have completely different interests on the ground, and once those two interests conflict, which they really often do, that sort of cooperation becomes untenable.
If we could pivot, I want to talk about a column you wrote last week, I believe, where you took up our fine mayor, Rahm Emanuel, the headline, Rahm Emanuel's Galling Hubris. And it's a great stem winder about transportation in New York. And we're familiar here with his op-ed in the New York Times. And then he was clobbered, basically, by New York Press for bragging about our transportation system when we do have a few other problems, like, 1,700 shootings so far this year. What was sort of your take on whether or not do you think he was really that naive to post that, to submit that, and not expect backlash?
I don't know. That was really galling. Far be it for me to defend New York's Andrew Cuomo and New York City's Bill de Blasio. They deserve all the criticism in the world and more.
Excuse me, New York City slash Hamburg, Germany. Bill de Blasio.
Precisely, yes. Professional protester, Mayor de Blasio. Yeah, they deserve all the criticism they get, including on the subway situation. Subways in New York City have been deteriorating rapidly, and they deserve criticism for that. But it's pretty ironic that you have a mayor in particular who wanted to jump in on that, who's facing allegations of corruption and violence and the kind of, you know, let them eat cake, dissociation from the problems of his city, like Rahm Emanuel, and then to say, you know, well, at least the trains run on time. I mean, the guy doesn't understand metaphors. This is really, really repulsive behavior from somebody who can be completely savaged for how he's running his city, and then to take the time out to be intentionally provocative and troll New York City is just repulsive. He really does deserve to be raked over the coals for it.
He has been, but he claims that headline was not his, regardless. I had a conversation with somebody
the New York Times chose that headline on purpose to probably undermine his case.
Right.
It's good for them.
But it's either just another sign of his tone deafness, which we happen to see a lot in the city, I think. Or one of my colleagues was suggesting that, you know, the media here, we're not writing about the trains, okay? We're writing about the violence. And this was the only way for him to maybe get a little bit of a pat on the back to get his voice out there. And so he was willing to take that calculus of getting this printed in order to get clobbered. But, I mean, honestly, I think, was it the Daily News that came back with a headline, at least our commuters don't get shot on the train?
Yeah, that's
something along those lines,
yeah. The Laquan McDonald saga, for which the city settled. I mean, that was a serious situation from 2014, 2015, when the city settled after the mayor was reelected, and now we have an alleged conspiracy. I mean, this is real confidence-sapping scandal, and if Bill de Blasio was engaged in something like that, I can't imagine he'd be, writing trolling op-eds to Chicago, talking about how the police force at least functions. I mean, it would just be scandalously untoward behavior, to say nothing of, tone deaf.
He is Noah Rothman, associate editor for Commentary Magazine, where you can check out his op-eds on both the G20 over the weekend as well as Tiny Dancer. Noah, thanks for joining us. As always, appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And just on sticking